let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. The Power of God to Heal, All the Healings in the Bible to Help You Heal Yourself and Others by George Frederick Garland and revised by his daughter, Kent Garland McKay, is a collection of all the accounts of healing in the Bible, where an individual who was sick, deformed, disabled, even dying was restored to full health. The patriarchs and prophets of the Old Testament performed such miracles, and later Jesus and his disciples of the New Testament healed everyone who came to them with a physical problem. Reading about these experiences can inspire those seeking healing today. George Frederick Garland was a graduate of Princeton University, a business executive in New York City, a lifelong student of the Bible, a moderator of two book groups, a lay leader in his church, and a member of the Norwalk, Connecticut Clergy Association. He experienced the power of God to heal in his own life, witnessed healings accomplished by prayer alone in the lives of his children, grandchildren, and friends. George Frederick Garland, author of The Power of God to Heal, All the Healings in the Bible to Help You Heal Yourself and Others, revised by his daughter, Kent Garland McKay. And Kent is with us on This Week in America. Kent, welcome to the program. It's indeed a pleasure to have you with us. Thank you for being here.
Hi, it's nice to be here.
So much we're going to cover and so important during the course of the program today. What was your father's reason for writing this book? Talk a little bit about his mindset, his motivation for writing The Power of God to Heal.
Well, the book is a collection of all the accounts of healing in the Bible. Each account has a headline that illustrates a spiritual viewpoint on the subject of healing. The Bible is a big book, and it's densely Yes. packed with verses. And it has a lot of that are not too relevant. For instance, the dietary laws or the genealogies or the battle scenes. And my father wanted to pick out the most valuable parts of the Bible that are comforting and inspiring and showcase them. And he especially wanted to compile the healings, really, that are in the Bible. And these can be of most practical value to the reader.
Well, you know, it's something that so many people are interested in. Obviously, it's one of those points where we all have to look towards the Bible and the power of healing at some point in our lives or the lives of family members. I can only imagine the research, the meticulous research that went into what your father produced, the book, The Power of God to Heal. Who is he trying to reach with this book?
Well, anybody facing adversity, really.
Yes.
Anybody
yes.
who wanted to grow their faith, become pain-free, be happier, find a more secure path to their future. And Bible study groups could use it as a guideline. Ministers or Sunday school teachers might find stories that could illustrate a point that they were trying to make. It would make a great gift for a friend in a hospital, or someone working out, a relative perhaps working out a challenge at home.
It'd be a good a book to add to your library and have as you would need it to go and to get a copy of it. The book is The Power of God to Heal. The book written by George Frederick Garland, revised by his daughter Kent Garland McKay, who was our guest on the program. I briefly mentioned his credentials. Tell me a little bit about your father. He was accomplished in business and certainly accomplished in what he did as a member of the church.
Right. And for years, I can remember going over to his house and seeing him reading his Bible open on his desk with stacks of 3x5 cards. I wanted to tell you when he wrote the book. First, he wrote the book called Subject Guide to Bible Stories in the 1960s. Then in the 1970s, he was working on The Power of God to Heal. And he was a good husband and dad, and he raised my sister and me with a lot of positivity. When the publisher went out of business, that's when I stepped in, and I wanted to make the book available to another generation. And I felt it needed some updating. So I did ask my granddaughter, who's a good photographer, to take a picture of Lake Michigan during a sunset. And I felt that the light reflected on the water was symbolic of the light that the Bible sheds on our lives.
That is a beautiful picture.
Yeah, yeah. And I wanted to rewrite some of the headlines that I felt could be in a little bit more relation to modern day thinking. And I worked on the summaries that introduce each account. And then I tried to bring out more clearly the Christian attitude or the spiritual viewpoint that might have facilitated the healing.
And I imagine for you and continuing your father's legacy with the book, The Power of God to Heal, what a tremendous experience would be. It probably brought you even closer to your father, didn't it? In his memory with all the work that he had done in writing this, this magnificent book.
He was at work at it. He was still in business 9 to 5, but he'd come home evenings and weekends and work on it.
How about you've done such a nice job in doing this? Do you have any writing experience? What's your background?
Oh yes. Well, I out of college, I started writing for Mademoiselle magazine. Then a little bit later for Holiday. Then I've had a couple of articles in the New York Times and quite a few articles on my subject, early childhood development, for the Christian Science Monitor. And then I finally graduated into having a couple of books published by Harper and Row, and that was on infant education, the first 2 years of life.
Fantastic. It's a pleasure to have you on the program. Our guest is Kent Garland McKay. She's revised the book by her father, The Power of God to Heal. The book's available at Amazon, the usual places. Go to our website. You can link on directly, get information on the book. Let's talk about the main content of the book. How would you describe the book to somebody in terms of main contact, the main message your father has in The Power of God to Heal?
Well, the book consists of excerpts from the Old and New Testaments where healings or miraculous events are recorded. It's in the language of the King James Version of the Bible. And what my dad did was write a headline for each story that summarized it, giving you an insight into what to look for as you read it, and an insight into the process of spiritual healing. The titles highlight an aspect of the story that maybe helps to make it more relevant. For instance, Elijah, one of the old prophets, he helps this poverty-stricken widow to survive. And the headline is, "In time of want, sharing can lead to sufficiency."
I love that. The book is The Power of God to Heal, touching people, and it has been for a number of years, continues to do, thanks to the work of Kent Garland McKay, our guest on the program. What types of conditions were healed according to accounts in the scripture?
Well, they run the gamut. Problems healed include deafness, blindness, lameness, strained relationships, infertility, deformity, and the effects of accidents. There are also reports of overcoming grief and hunger, disability, poverty, and the ailments of old age. There's inspiration for readers with eating disorders, speech impediments, or sleeping difficulties. For instance, Moses had a speech problem. He stuttered. And he felt he couldn't obey God's command to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. But God's promise to him was, quote, "I will put my words in thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say." And he did become a great leader. For somebody with sleeping problems, find this wonderful verse in Psalms, "I shall both lay me down in peace and sleep. For thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety." The index helps you find a healing of a condition similar to one you might have. So you can look up healings in the index of feet, heart, skin, eye, ear, and many others.
The book, as you can tell, as Kent is describing it, is designed for literally everybody. It's a book that's highly readable. It's again a great book to add to the library. And if somebody is listening, going, but those healings in the Bible that happened so long ago, I don't know how it could be relevant today. I think just in the topics you were talking about, it's extremely relevant today, isn't it?
Well, reading one account of healing after another in my dad's book gives you insights into the process of healing through prayer. The reading can inspire you to get rid of depression or the nameless dreads. It can make you optimistic and positive. It can quiet fear and build your trust in God as an all-loving, caring father and mother acting on your behalf.
With us on the program is Kent Garland McKay, and I'll spell that for you if you're going to Google later. The name of the book is Power of God to Heal, All the Healings in the Bible to Help You Heal Yourself and Others, written by her father, George Frederick Garland. Kent has revised the book. It's now available at Amazon, the usual places. Do you believe that the way we think, our mental attitude, has an impact on our health?
More and more people are recognizing the effect of thought and emotion on the body. And they're investigating spiritual healing. The mind-body connection is important. And a lot of church-going people are leaning on the power of prayer to heal.
So there is an impact. There's so much in the book, The Power of God to Heal. And one question that comes to mind is the people that Jesus healed bring something to the table that facilitated their healing, or was it just Jesus' own ability to actually do the healing?
Well, certainly Jesus could see right where the patient was a perfect spiritual identity of the person that really is God's image and likeness. But the individual may have a particularly receptive attitude or a character trait or a change of heart that facilitated his or her healing. Our titles point to these. For instance, the young blind man, Bartimaeus, he was in the streets shouting for Jesus' attention, and the people nearby him were trying to hush him up. But he kept on shouting for Jesus. And finally, Jesus did come over to speak to him. So it shows that his persistence was one of the things that brought about the healing, which was accomplished when Jesus was with him. And a paralyzed man was lowered through a roof because there were so many people crowding the doorway and into Jesus' presence. And he might have been ready to give up some misguided thoughts and ways because Jesus said to him right away, "Thy sins be forgiven thee," and the man was healed. These suffering people accepted God's existence, they admired Jesus' teachings, and they trusted the power of the word.
The book is The Power of God to Heal. Does the book tell us how to pray for healing?
Well, beside the narrative accounts of healing, my father included many passages from Psalms, Isaiah, and the letters of Paul that they can become uplifting prayers for your own health or that of a relative or loved one. Besides, sometimes the index directs you to not just a story, but an inspirational passage to ponder when praying for a healing. Take, for example, suppose you have a sore shoulder. You can look up shoulder in the index. And Isaiah says, "As I, God, have thought, so shall it come to pass. Then shall the burden depart from off their shoulder." You can reflect on this, and this indicates that really trusting in God's beneficent will to be done can relieve you of the stress that may be causing a sore shoulder.
Do you think that following Jesus' example, as Christians do, means that we should also try to heal the sick?
Yes. I could quote from John. Jesus said, "He who believes on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father." Jesus said he went to his Father as the source of the healing power. So we can go to that source too. Jesus expected people who follow him to pray and to heal, pray for health and to heal. He indicated that we have a right to health, and health is God's will for men, women, and children. Otherwise, he wouldn't have healed everyone he came across. In every case he took on, Jesus took away the discord and restored health. When he healed a man of edema and he healed a woman of spinal deformity on the Sabbath day, the Pharisees got all upset, and they were criticizing him for that. And he said to them, well, you take your ox to a watering place on the Sabbath, that's Sunday, you pull your farm animal out of a pit if he fell into it on a Sunday. So why wouldn't you heal your fellow man on a Sunday? So he stood up for the right properness to heal.
The book is The Power of God to Heal, all the healings in the Bible to help you heal yourself and others. The author, George Frederick Garland, revised by his daughter, Kent Garland McKay, our guest on the program. What do you say to those people that say God sends sickness, maybe to punish us, maybe to send us a lesson, to teach us something? How do you respond to those who say that?
Well, the book skips the early references in the Bible to God as a punishing being, because this concept was refuted later in the Bible by more enlightened thinkers. The vision of God as a loving father and mother caring for his children really is a golden thread that runs throughout the scriptures. Unquestionably, God wants us to be healthy to better serve him. Of course, a helpful byproduct of sickness is sometimes that we learn a life lesson by our efforts to overcome it, by our efforts to commune with God, or just to try and understand God better. But God himself sends only good.
What is the greatest roadblock, the greatest deterrent to accomplishing a healing? What stands in the way?
Well, probably fear is the worst, but also, hatred or resentment that has built up in us for some reason or other. These uncomfortable emotions can be a deterrent. But that's where the prayerful, inspiring, comforting passages that my dad has taken from the Bible can help. Let me quote a couple. For instance, from Deuteronomy, "The beloved of the Lord shall dwell in safety beside him, and the Lord shall cover him all the day long, and he shall dwell between his shoulders." Or I love this one in the New Testament, 2 Timothy. "God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind."
Thank you for sharing those. The book is really powerful. It's a must-read, a must-have book, The Power of God to Heal. What other miracles did Jesus perform besides healing the body?
Well, there are a lot of adverse circumstances that he reversed, or that were, or in other parts of the Bible, the Old Testament too. For instance, people experienced protection from danger. Their food supply was increased. Stormy weather was calmed, transportation was speeded up, water was discovered in the desert. Jesus sets the example for us. We can pray for the calming of a storm or for the supplying of our legitimate financial needs. These scriptural experiences relate to problems we have today. We can pray for protection when we're driving or engaging in sports. We can pray for a bad storm to diminish in strength. We can pray about food insecurity or a small bank account. We can discover that God does supply human needs.
Well, I was going to ask you about that. Is it possible to prevent sickness and accidents through prayer? And you just touched on this, and that's something that's in the book, and that is possible then, you're saying?
Yes. Jesus, for instance, he touched the lepers out of compassion, but perhaps it was to also show that he didn't believe in contagion, that he was immune. because leprosy was one of the most contagious diseases of that time. He was protected from a hostile crowd when they tried to throw him off a cliff. He was able to pass through the midst of the crowd unseen by them. Today, people's homes have sometimes been protected from hurricane or fire, and people have attributed it to prayer. There are actually 13 references in the book to protection from plagues, and plague is probably a scriptural word for pandemic.
Yes.
Yes.
As soon as you said that, I'm thinking, oh, okay, it again is relevant to what we're dealing with today. What kind of healings have you gone through? I mentioned your father in writing this, what he went through, what he saw others, what family members went through. What have you gone through healing?
Well, again, without any medical help, I've had blemishes and growths on skin removed. They've just disappeared. Once I had very swollen legs, and I was in a wheelchair for a week or two, and was able, though, to overcome that and go on a vacation that was planned for my husband and me.
Fantastic.
I had quickly gotten rid of back spasms. A sprained wrist returned to full mobility. I've enjoyed great well-being as a senior without medication and without doctor's appointments. I've been able to help grandchildren by reading some of the stories from this book. But prayer has also helped me achieve other things besides healing of physical problems, like I was able to achieve emotional stability during a divorce. I found a new source of income during a scary financial time. I turned to God a lot for guidance that helped me be a better parent of four children.
The power of God to heal is all-encompassing, as you're getting definitely that impression from Kent Garland McKay, who revised the book written by her father. A few minutes left in the program. I got a couple more questions, so we're going to go on here. Did Jesus' disciples heal successfully?
There are wonderful stories in the Bible about them healing. Peter and John healed a lame beggar. Philip in Samaria healed the insane, the paralyzed, and the mentally disabled. Peter healed Aeneas of palsy. He healed his mother-in-law of a fever, and he raised the widow Dorcas, who had died. Paul healed a cripple in Lystra. He also raised Eutychus from the dead after he fell from a third-story window. And Paul also healed when he was shipwrecked. He had a host on this island, and he healed his father of a fever.
We hear so much about the power of modern medicine, and it seems like just about every month or so there's a breakthrough. We find out more. We're able to help more. Is there still a role for spiritual healing?
Well, prayerful passages in the book can provide comfort during hospitalization or while under a doctor's care and promote early recovery. Thinking about a present God and a loving God can quiet fear, and the body functions better when we are in a calm state of mind.
One sort of final question before we summarize here. Do you believe that the prayers are answered?
Well, I've had many experiences of answered prayer.
Like, yes.
Yes.
I have some problems I'm still seeking answers to, but I believe prayer can move mountains. And Jesus said it could. I quote, "Whoever says to a mountain," and that could be a big problem, "be removed and be thrown into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. Therefore, whatsoever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them."
This has been such a fascinating conversation. Any final thoughts on the book, what this masterpiece that your father put together, that what a legacy is still helping people through very crucial times in their lives? Any final thoughts as we conclude our conversation today?
Well, I'd like to say to your listeners that if you are in dire need, this book will encourage you to seek God's help. It's a tool that you can use to learn how to pray effectively. And it can lead you to feel happy and healthy and teach you to worry less about the future. I want everyone to enjoy what the title of the book promises, The Power of God to Heal.
And again, you will enjoy the book cover as well, which is sort of part of the healing process as well. It's soothing as you look at that beautiful picture that was taken for the book cover. The book is The Power of God to Heal, All the Healings in the Bible to Help You Heal Yourself and Others. It was written by George Frederick Garland, revised by his daughter, Kent Garland McKay, our guest on the program today. Book available at Amazon, the usual places. You'll find information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Kent, a pleasure having you on the program. What important work you're doing in continuing your father's legacy in getting this book out there. As I mentioned, it's a must-have for all personal libraries, family libraries. Thank you for spending some time with us on the program.
I enjoyed it so much. Thanks, Rick.
You're welcome. Once again, the name of the book, The Power of God to Heal. Book available at Amazon. Information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. We're back on today's program after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.